Okay, we're beginning here with the two dots on the top of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. The end of the Mishnah says, Hayoresh Somech, Mevi Nitzachim, Umeymar. That the Yoresh who brings the Korban on behalf of the one who was Morishit to him, then he does Smicha. He also brings the Nitzachim that are associated with it, even though he hasn't inherited them, or the value to purchase them, he does it out of pocket. And Meymar, he becomes the Balim, which then entitles him to violate the inyan of tmura, or to create tmura through the animal. The Gemara says, Tani, Rav Chananya, Kamei Derava, Yoresh, Eno Somech, Yoresh, Eno Meimar. So now we have a braita that seems to say the exact opposite of our Mishnah, which is a Yoresh doesn't do smicha, and a Yoresh is not entitled to do tmura. V'hanan tanan, don't we have our Mishnah that says, Yoresh Somech, Umevi Nisachav, Umeimar, Amalei, Epoch, or Epchai, flip it, maybe we should flip the positions in order to have them align. Amalei lo, or lo tepach, you don't flip it around. Matnitin Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, or in essence, there are two different Tanaim with regards to this. The Tanya, Yoresh Somech, Yoresh Meimar, which is what we have in our Mishnah, and likely is the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yoresh Enu Somech, Yoresh Enu Meimar. And here we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which aligns with the Braita, which is that a Yoresh does not do smicha, and a Yoresh does not have the power to do tmura. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So what is the reasoning or the logic behind Rabbi Yehuda's position? Because it says, Korbano below Korban Aviv. The Pasuk says, Korbano in the possessive form. So it's your Korban that you are required to do smicha on, but not the Korban of your father. V'yalif tchilat kohekdesh misof hekdesh. And then he has a hekdesh between the beginning of hekdesh from the end of hekdesh. Masov mechsof hekdesh, just like at the end of hekdesh, which is smicha. That's the last thing that you're going to do to the animal before you shecht it. So that's the end of hekdesh. Yoresh eino somech. Over there, he doesn't do smicha if he's an inheritor. Av tchilat hekdesh. We're talking about the initial imbuing of the animal with kedusha. And over there, that's the reference to tmura, Yoresh, Enu Meimar. So we have a din by Somech, Smicha, and from there we extrapolate to the din of Meimar, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbonon go the opposite direction. They say it says, by the issue of tmura, Hamer Yamir, and Rabot et Yoresh. So that comes to tell you the double lashon of tmura tells you that the Yoresh is able to do tmura. B'yalif Sofek Desh, Mitikolat Ekdesh. And then they'll learn the latter part of Hekdesh, which means the Smicha, which is the last process in Hekdesh before you shecht it, from the beginning, from Tumura. Matzchilat Hekdesh Yoresh Meimar, Afsof Hekdesh Yoresh Somech. Rabbanan, Hai Korbano, Mai Abdile. What do they do with the word Korbano that Rabbi Yehuda darshins? Korbano, Velo Korban, Oveid Kochavim. And even though we already precluded a goy from doing Smicha because it says, Bnei Yisrael Somchem, Velo Ovdei Kochavim Somchim. Nevertheless, you need an additional miyut to tell you that the Kohen doesn't do it on behalf of the Ovdei Kochavim. Because you already saw before that when it came to Nitzachim, if the Ovdei Kochavim doesn't bring it, the Tzibor steps in and brings it on his behalf. So you would think maybe over here the Kohen would have to step in and do the smicha, because the Goy can't do the smicha. The miyut comes to teach you that not only does he not do smicha, we don't even do smicha on his behalf with regards to the Korban Ovdei Kochavim. Korbano, velo korban chaveiro. Korbano, lerabot, kol balei korban lismicha. So very similar to what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, that the word korbano appears a number of times. We saw that the Balei HaTosafot note that it's mentioned three times, but then he points out that's only true when it by the parshia of the Keves, but by the parshia of the Eis it's mentioned two times. And then we have Rashi, over here, Miuchas, the Rashi over here, who seems to indicate that it's mentioned six times. And therefore there are multiple drashot, three of which aren't over here. The other three of which are what we just noted, which is that there's a preclusion for certain individuals from doing smicha. The first of which is korbano velo eved kochavim. Korbano velo korban chaveiro. You could see combining both of those, which is the korbano means your korban, and not someone else's korban. Someone else could be chaveiro, or someone else could be oveid kochavim. Both of those could have been precluded from the same. The reason why we maybe differentiate them is because oveid kochavim is not in the world of smicha at all. So the reason to exclude an Obdei Kochavim is because Bnei Yisrael Sumchim and not Obdei Kochavim. So they already precluded the Gamrei from Smicha. And an individual who does have relevance to Smicha, maybe over there, even though it's Korbano, Velo Korban Chavero, maybe there is reason for him to do Smicha. And then we have Korbano, Lerabot Kolobele Korban Smicha, to tell you that anybody who is an owner of a Korban has to participate in this Smicha. And if you have multiple Shutafim, partners in a Korban, each one of them will have to do Smicha on the Korban. Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabot Kolobele Korban Smicha Lele. So Rabbi Yehuda has to use the word Korbano. That teaches him the din that we learned here, that Korbano below Korban Yoresh. So he loses one of the words of Korbano. So the Gemara says, so he does not believe that when it comes to a Korban of Shutafim, that all the Shutafim have to do Smicha. What has to happen here is actually questionable, and that the Balei Tosafot note over here. They say Perish HaKuntris, meaning Rashi, over here, says Echad Sumech Ayidei Kulan, that one person does it on behalf of all of them. So when you say that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think you need Smicha by Korban HaShutafim, that means that not everyone needs to do it, but someone, one of them does need to do it. But then he says Rashi, in the beginning of Tmura, says that it means that you don't have to do Smicha at all. Once you have multiple owners, there's no Smicha on the animal whatsoever. That might relate to what the Smicha is driven by. This is a question with all the processes with regards to the Korban, which is the obligation upon the owner, or is the obligation upon the Korban? You have a Korban that requires Smicha. Is that obligation that the owner do Smicha on the Korban, or is there an obligation that the Korban have Smicha done to it? That difference in formulation might actually explain the two versions of Rashi. If you believe that it's the owners that have the obligation to do the Smicha, and then you have the word Korbano, that says only when it's a solely owned Korban is it that you require Smicha, then that would preclude you from doing Smicha at all. You wouldn't need Smicha from any of the parties. On the other hand, if you think that there's an obligation that the Korban receives Smicha, it's just a question of who executes on that Smicha, then you could see in this case where you have Korbano, only one individual does the Smicha, not everyone. So that would be the other view in Rashi, which is that one of the Shutafim does it on behalf of all the parties in terms of the Smicha. Inami, the other option for Rabbi Yehuda is Itlei Obei Kochavim Chavero Mechad Kor Nafko. But we noted before, which is there is some overlap between Korban Chavero and Korban Obei Kochavim. We explained why maybe you wouldn't want to put them together, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda does put them together, and that leaves him an extra Korbano, and in that way he would also believe that Korban HaShutfim, everybody gets to do Smicha or has to do Smicha on the Korban. Artulei Trei Krai. So then he has two psukim left over. Chad Korbano v'lo Korban Aviv. That would be to preclude the Yoresh, which is what Rabbi Yehuda has. V'idach Harabot Kol Balei Korban Nesmicha. And the other one would be like the Chachamim, where he says that all the Balei Korban are Sumech on the Korban. V'Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Hamer Yamir Mayavilei. What does he do with Hamer Yamir, the Dabar Lashon? V'Bailei L'Rabot Et Aisha. That comes to include a woman for its Murah. Tanya, the entire inyan of Tmura is written in the male formulation, male conjugation. Ma sofeinu l'rabot et ha'isha. So in the end, how could we add in the isha if it's written in the male form? Tamalomar hamer yamir, the double lashon teaches you that the woman is included. Rabbonon darshei mivim. Because there it says, ve'im hamer yamir, and so the ve'im, which is extraneous, or even the vav that's extraneous over there, they learn it from ve'im. Rabbi Yehuda ve'im lo darish, he doesn't hold of that extra vav being impactful in terms of this. So a number of things to just note over here. The Balei Tosafot here make comments like they make all over Shas, and we saw earlier in this Masechta, which is that Rabbi Yehuda over here does not darshin the vav over here. He says, "Bahaba alma dorish Rabbi Yehuda vav." Pirashti v'sofa tchelet. If you go back to Nun Aleph on Mudbet, Tosafot says, "I explained over there that the vav he does darshan. How come over here he says he doesn't darshan the vav? What makes a difference whether he does or doesn't darshan the vav? It's not consistent policy. If he had a consistent policy where he never darshan vavs, I'd be okay. But we find numerous places in Shas where Rabbi Yehuda does darshan the vav. So why all of a sudden over here he doesn't? So Balei Tosafot make a comment over there, which is, when it's muchach mitoch ha-psukim, that when there's something in the pasuk that compels you to darshan the vav, that's where Rabbi Yehuda darshans the vav. Over here, where it's just a vav at the beginning of a word, it doesn't seem compelling that you have to darshan it, there he won't darshan the vav. And similarly, we have the same thing with regards to the duplicate lashon over here. Shaminim later Rabbi Yehuda, gabe himo imo, dibra torak lashon b'nei adam. That Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think the duplication of language is meaningful. He just says that's a literary style of the Torah, and you can't make a drush or you can't derive anything from that. How come over here? The Shema, b'makoma pasuk mochiach, lo amrinan. So here it is. Tosfot says the same idea over here. Maybe when the pasuk is compelling, then we do darshan it. Where the pasuk's not compelling, we don't darshan it. So Tosfot has this idea where he says that Tanaim are not consistent in their policy of certain things, whether Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam, darshaning a vav, or Kri and Ktiv, which one of them do you focus on? Im Lemikra, Im Lemisoret. All of these concepts where we don't find a consistent policy of the Tanaim with regards to this, even individual Tanaim, not Tanaim in general, but individual Tanaim. So Tosfot says that it's either because there's some exogenous variable that's compelling them to do it, or within the context of where it's written, it speaks for a drasha. I mean, that sometimes you can look at it as a literary style, but other times it seems to be odd the way that it's phrased, either because of the difference or differentiation in the word from a previous word. There are reasons which may compel you to then darshan it. And so Tosafot, with both of these things over here, says that same thing, that the drasha is driven by the either lack of hochacha in this pasuk for a drasha, or the fact that there is a compelling reason to darshan it, and that explains the position of Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's differentiated in other places in Shas. The second thing that Balei Tosafot will point out is, how come we do not take this hekesh of tchilat hekdesh to sof hekdesh, or sof hekdesh to tchilat hekdesh, to its ultimate end? How come over here, we only speak about it with regards to smicha and hamara with a yoresh, and not with regards to other halachot? You could see, for instance, that a woman's precluded from smicha. So why not say that if a woman's precluded from smicha, she's also precluded from hamara, from tmura? Or the other way around. If she's included in tmura, maybe she should be included in smicha. How come we don't see the hekesh working for other items and only by yoresh? So the Balei Tosafot say, v'yesh lamar, davka gabi yoresh gamrei mehadodi. This parallel, this hekesh only exists by yoresh. Di choshiv korbano legabi hai. Choshiv nami legabi hai. It's establishing not whether there's a drasha or no drasha. It's a more fundamental question as to when the Yoresh brings the Korban of the Morish. Is it his Korban? Or is he bringing on behalf of the deceased? And that will make a difference in both of these halachot. With regards to smicha, only the owner does smicha. So if you establish for me that he does do smicha, that means that he is the owner of the Korban. If he's the owner of the Korban, then he can do tmura, and vice versa. If he can do tmura on the Korban, that shows that he's the owner of the Korban. If he's the owner of the Korban, he can do smicha. The Tosafot says that they actually are not about the hekesh, it's about determining who is the owner of the Korban. By the Yoresh, there's only one question. Whose Korban is it? So either one of them can answer that question. Once you know one, you can know the other. By other things, like by the woman, she owns the Korban, we know that, but there's still a preclusion. So then each din will stand separately. So then you know it's not about ownership anymore. It has to do with that there's a preclusion despite the fact that they own it. Then the last thing to note, and this is something difficult in other places in Shas, because the Gemara doesn't always do this, and sometimes does, sometimes doesn't. But here the Gemara says, well, the whole Parshiyah is written in Zachar. So that means it's speaking about a male and not a female. The whole Torah is written in Lashon Zachar. So what does it mean that this Parshiyah is written in Lashon Zachar? Therefore it should only apply to males and not to females, and you need a specific riboy. Find many other parshiot that are written in Lashon Zachar, and the woman is included in them. So what's unique about this parshiyah? So the Balei Tosafot would say, first of all, the general principle is that hishva isha le'ish l'chol onshin shebitorah. That when it comes to any of the oshim of the Torah, any negative precepts, we believe that men and women are equal with regards to that, and you can assume if it applies to a man, it applies to a woman. The fact that it's written in Lashon Zachar is not meaningful whatsoever. So then why over here in particular do we have some other thought about it? So Tosafot says that's because by Tmura, we already have a preclusion for Tzibur. Tmura only applies to a Korban Yachid, does not apply to a Korban Tzibur. So what he says is, since already the policy with regards to this Korban is diminished, it doesn't apply across the board, it's now a mitzvah, or really a negative precept, that is not globally effective. Which means that it only works by Yechidim, doesn't work by Tzibur. So once you've already done that, then we start to say maybe there's significance to the fact that it's written Lashon Zachar, and maybe a woman should be precluded. Because already you've started to preclude other parties from the din of Tmura, you chipped away at the integrity of the negative precept, so maybe here that should be meaningful that it's written B'Lashon Zachar, and that's why you need a particular riboy to include the woman in this case. Alright, next Mishnah. Hakol Somchim. Everybody does Smicha. Tosfot asks over here, why does the Mishnah over here say Hakol Somchim? And then we have the same din that is brought in the beginning of Arachim, which says Hakol Somchim. And over there, the Gemara says about a kol somchim, a kol le'atuya yoresh. That comes to include a yoresh. V'teima, he says, ha'tana le'resha. We already have this from over here. And similarly with a kol me'mirim, over there, that is to include the yoresh. So first of all, that's not like Rabbi Yehuda. And also, we already have the Mishnayot over here that tell us that the din is explicitly written here, and not like Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, v'yesh lomar d'orche d'tana hachi, kevin d'lo mi'yater le'bova, Bekach, ragel lishno teva achat, agav orche. That sometimes it's worthwhile for the Tana to add in one word. Not, he's not adding in a whole section to the Mishnah. To teach you a din, afgav the Tani la behedji v'shar duchta, even though we have it explicitly somewhere else. So the fact that he says, akol me'mirim, and akol somchim, which teaches you in the Gemara in Arachin, and the Gemara of Tmura, that a Yoresh does all of those items, even though we had it explicitly in our Mishnah here, nevertheless, it's worth it for him to add in the word kol. It's one extra word in the Mishnah, and he gets that bonus. Even though we know it somewhere else explicitly, it's worthwhile to add it in. So Tosfot says, even though the din was learned somewhere else, we might still duplicate the din through a hint like the word kol, because it doesn't really cost you so much to add it into the Mishnah, and you gain the benefit of having that extra din be mentioned in the Mishnah. Although the Sfada Med adds on that maybe it even comes to teach a new din, which is that had we just had the din here, it's speaking about a father to a son. What about a Yoresh from a different relative? What's the din there? And that's maybe what's included in those Mishnayot, kol somchim and akol me'mirim. So maybe those are including other Yoshim, not just Yoshe ha'av, and that's why we need it to be repeated twice in the Mishnayot. Chutz mi'cher shoteh v'katan, with the exception of these three who are mentioned as parties in many different places, because, as the Gemara will say in a second, they are not b'nei de'a, they don't have da'at. And so therefore, if smicha involves also the aspect of vidui, or some sort of kavanah, then you can't demand it from people who are not b'nei de'a. The problem then you have is, how do they have a korban that is theirs if they're not b'nei de'a? By katan, it's a little easier, because he can be a mufla samuch, gadol, which is that he's in his last year before bar mitzvah, last year before bat mitzvah. Those individuals, their nidarim, are binding. So hektesh, which is a form of neder, they could create the hektesh. But with regards to a cheresh v'shoteh, it's very hard. If they are not considered b'nei de'a, then how are they makdish something? So either you have to say that they were makdish while they were still either not a cheresh or not a shoteh, and then they became or came into the state later on. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is somebody was makdish on their behalf and gave it to them. So that's the other possibility of how they have something that's mukdash, that's in their name. But then they can't do the smicha because of this lack of dot. V'suma. And then a blind person's also precluded. The Gemara will give the limud for that. V'ove kochavim, which we already just discussed, and ove kochavim is precluded. V'eved, an eved kenani. V'ashliach, and a proxy, can't do it on your behalf. V'aisha, and a woman is precluded. So you have all these individuals who are precluded from doing smicha. U'smicha sheyirei mitzvah. Smicha is a bonus. It's an enhancer to the korban. It is not absolutely necessary for the kapara to be attained. And we will see that again in the Gemara, which the terminology in Kodoshim is kiper velo kiper. You got the kapara, but you're missing some aspect of the kapara. Ala rosh, you have to do it on the head of the animal. Bebet yadayim, with both hands. The smicha is done with both hands, not one hand. Ubemakom shesumchim shochatim. And the place that you do the smicha, you do the shchita. The tekef le smicha shchita. And then immediately after smicha is shchita. That the Gemara says, we'll see in Chulin as well, it says in the Gemara in Brachot, there are three things that require tekef, the something, something else. And this is one of them. Immediately after smicha, shchita has to be done. The question of what the interplay is between makom shesumchim shochatim and take of a smicha shchita is questionable, and that the Gemara will ask. Kereshot v'katan, we clear, we understand why they don't do smicha. They're not b'nei deya, so they're precluded from it. Ovei kochavim nami, because the pasuk says, b'nei Yisrael sumchim, b'ein ovdei kochavim sumchim. So even though we have a riboy that an ovei kochavim can bring a korban, despite the fact that he's included in the bringing of the korban, he's precluded from doing smicha, because it says b'nei Yisrael at the title to the parshia dealing with smicha. El asuma my time alone. Why would you preclude a suma from doing smicha? So Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdime. So it's a machloket amoraim as to what the source is. Now Tosafot on the next amud says Rav Yitzchak bar Avdime. There were two of them. One of them that was a peer with Rav Chista, and one of them that was probably at the end of the period of the Tanaim, who was the Rebbe of Rav, and the one that's over here is the Rebbe of Rova. So there are two different Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimes, even though others have a different way of explaining the problem as to how you have Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi being Rav's Rebbe and Rova's Rebbe, which would have put them at different times. The Tosafot's solution, like he does many times in Shas, is there are two Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimis of Dumi. So now, Chadamar, Ach Yismicha, Smicha, Mizikne Aida. We learn it out from Par Helam Dovar, Shel Tzibur, which says, Semchu, Zikne Aida, that the Zikne Aida do Smicha on the Par Helam Dovar, Shel Tzibur. So we have a limud from there to Suma. Chadamar, Ach Yismicha, Smicha, Ma'ulat Re'iya. Or we learn it out from the Olot Riyah that are brought up to the Migdash. We're going to learn from there to the Smicha over here. So just like an Olot Riyah requires Smicha, so too all the Korbanot that have a requirement of Smicha, the Hekesh between them teaches us just look like the Suma is precluded from Olot Riyah, so too he's precluded from Smicha by the other Korbanot. From the one who says that we learn out of Olot Riyah, my time alo yolef min zikne aida. Why doesn't he learn out of Zikne Aida? Donim Yachid mi Yachid, vein Donim Yachid mi Tzibur. But learn out something that is referenced to a Yachid, a Korban Yachid, is the Olat Riyah. That should teach us about a Korban Yachid over here, which is a regular Korban for Smicha. But you don't want to learn from the Tzibur where it says, V'samcho Zikne Aida, to a Korban Yachid where you speak about an individual, whether he is Sumech or not. Olamande Olif mi Zikne Aida, and the one who learns it from Zikne Aida, my time Olif mi Olot Riyah. Why does he learn it out from Olot Riyah? Dani midei dechtiv be smicha begufei, midei dechtiv be smicha begufei. We're going to learn out something that has smicha explicitly written by it, which is some Zikne Aida by the Parshia of Parlet Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, to something over here that has the word smicha associated with it. Afuke Olot Riyah, dehi gufa me Olot Nedava Gamra. Olat Riyah itself never has the word smicha mentioned there. The only reason we know that an Olat Riyah needs smicha is because an Olat Nedava requires smicha. So then you have a hekesh that helps you get that information, and then we learn from one to the other. So now the question is, how exactly does this limud work? We don't understand why each one of them didn't pick the other one, but how does it work? So when you have the Semchu Zikne Aida, Semchu Zikne Aida then has the word smicha that's explicitly mentioned there. And then you have that Gzeirah Shava to the smicha by the korbanot that requires smicha. That Gzeirah Shava teaches us that a suma can't do it, and that's because of the requirements by Zikne Aida. By Zikne Aida, we have a number of drashot that we had, either itcha, bedomim lecha, or there's a hekesh between rivim and nigaim. By nega, you have to be able to see in order to do the nigaim. So too, by rivim, by other cases, you need a beit din. That is, to be able to see. Or, just like they are menukim betzedek, kach menukim imum, all these different libudim that tell us that the Bali Sanhedrin can't have a mum associated with them, and they can't be a suma. So if that's the case, the zikne aida, who do the smicha for the parlam davish tzibur, do not have a mum or not sumim. And so too, over here, by the case of smicha, a suma would be precluded. That's the limud that you would have. That would then open up the possibility of other limudim and excluding other individuals, including like a woman who can't be on the Sanhedrin, so maybe she should also be precluded from smicha as well. So that makes it a little more difficult because we don't see the Gemara bringing that for the additional limudim. We have a limudim that are separate, but just know that that is somewhat of a question as to why we can't extend this to preclude individuals who are not like the Sanhedrin. The other drasha is the possibility that we learn it out of Olat Riyah. By Olat Riyah, which we'll get to again later on in Kodoshim, we're going to discuss this limud again, which is the requirement of v'lo yira'u panai reikam, that you're not allowed to come up to the Mikdash empty-handed. And we have a drusha there, or yireh, yireh. There's all different formulations of the drusha, or the basic idea is, just like you are seen or will be seen with two eyes, so too you need to see with two eyes, and that precludes a suma, or from being chayav in olat ri'iyah. So now you have olat ri'iyah, which says that a suma is patur. And I learned from olat ri'iyah over here to the other korbanot that requires smicha, that there's no din of smicha. Just like by olat ri'iyah, suma is precluded, so too over here, the suma is precluded. But then the Baalei Tosfot will point out, that means that you're learning a drusha, that davar lamed ba'ekesh in chozerim lamed b'gzer shava. Now you have a gzer shava teaching you a din that comes from a hekesh, which is that the olat ri'iyah has a din of smicha from the olat nidava. And then you're taking a gzer shava and saying, oh, from olat ri'iyah, from the word yira'u, we're going to learn over here that the din of smicha doesn't apply. So now you're taking a hekesh to a gzer shava. So Baalei Tosfot point out that we mentioned before that that's only when you're learning the same exact din, one from the other and then to the third party. So over here, we're not learning smicha from olat nedava to olat ri'iyah to the din of smicha by other korbanot. We're learning the following. We're saying that smicha from olat nedava to olat ri'iyah, and from olat ri'iyah we're learning to other korbanot that a suma is precluded. It's two different dinim. In that case, you don't have a problem of having first a hekesh and then a gzeres shava, because the hekesh taught us one piece of information that's not relevant to the next piece of information. The first piece of information was smicha. The second piece of information is the ptur of suma. So the ptur of suma is not correlated with the din of smicha. And so if that's the case, limudim are considered separate, and it's not built one on top of the other. And for that reason, it's not a failure in hekesh to gzeres shava. Tosfot over here asks about both drashot. First of all, tema, im keini baim nukim mikol mum. If you have smicha, smicha mizikne aida, forget about suma, you can be, any mum should be precluded. Anybody who has a mum should be precluded from the din of smicha, because he says that's the din of the Sanhedrin. And he says, umandi elik molat riya, and you made suma bechad meinav. By solat riya, not only is a suma in both eyes excluded, even a suma in one eye is precluded. So then that should be the same din over here. And all the other people who are patur me olat riyah should be patur also from smicha. Tosfot asked the question that we noted before, which is, once you have these limudim, you should have to bring in everything. And once you do that, it seems to obviate the need for all these other drashot that we have, because it all comes from this, or even add on, other people should be excluded. So Tosfot leaves it without answering it, but it is a difficulty that the drashot are very broad and should have broader implications than simply this narrow scope of suma in both of these cases. I did see it brought in the name of one of the achronim that the reason that the suma is the only thing that's discussed over here is because of the lifnei Hashem aspect of it. The correlation between all of these items is that they're all done lifnei Hashem. Smicha, the ziknei eida, and the olat ri'iyah. So therefore, only the aspect that relates to lifnei Hashem is what is being shared between them. And that's the issue of sight or suma, and that's why that's the only din that is shared between them and not the other dinim. The Tani Tanakh made the Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, there was a bright that was being said over in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, Vayakrev et ha'ula, Vayaseha kamishpat. So this is with reference to the Miluim, and that Aaron brings the Ola, and Vayaseha kamishpat. Kamishpat ulat nedava, they made alolat chova shetuna smicha. And that's the evidence of the fact that the way that we know that a olat chova needs smicha is because of olat nedava, which is by the olat chova of the miluim, it says, v'yekrev et olah v'yaseh kamishpat. Kamishpat what? What is the process? The mishpat of an olah. What's the mishpat of an olah? That's the first parak in Vayikra, which says that an olat nedava requires all of these items. So by the Miluim, where it's a chova, it says you do it just like the olat nedava. So you see from there that olat chova is learnt from olat nedava, but that's not written explicitly by the olat chova. Now the interesting part about that pasuk in Perek Tet, pasuk Tet Zayin, is the fact that it doesn't necessarily seem to be speaking about an olat hayachid. It seems to be speaking about the olat hatzibur. If you look at it contextually in the pasuk, it says, Aaron brings his korbanot, and his korbanot are a chatat, which he does first, vayishchatet egel ha-chatat asher lo, and then he does the whole process of that. Then it says, vayishchatet ha-olah, and then he brings his olah. Then, after he's finished with that, then he starts to work with the v'yakrev korbanam, and then he brings the korbanam. ויקח את סיר החטאת של העם, ויחטאו כראשון. And he presses it the same way he presses his chatat. ויקרב את העולה, ויעשה כמשפט. And then he brings the olah and does it like the mishpat olah. So in context of the psukim, it sounds like it's speaking about the olah ta'am and not the olah of Aaron. And that would then be problematic because the smicha over here we're trying to learn is about a smicha tayachid, not about a smicha of the tzibur. The Shita Mikubetzit himself actually asks this question. He says, "Vim tomar hakra debiyasek tivetzul korban ha'am." If you read the psukim, it sounds like it's about the korban ha'am, not about the korban of Aaron. And if you look in Rashi in the Ktav Yad, he says, "Chovakti vayi beyom hashmini." Vayolat chova haita, tichtiv kach lecha egel ben bakad achat, vayol leola, tmimim, uchtiv bismicha tamim. And so by the smicha, it also mentions the word tamim. And so from that, we have this correlation about the fact that Vayasek Mishpat has reference to smicha. So now, the Shita Mikubetzit says, well, I don't know how Rashi in the Ktav Yad knows this, because I just read you the psukim, it sounds like it's speaking about the olat ta'am. So then he says, "Ve'omer haram dokorchachach perisha kuncha sikar." What Rashi says is right. Da'ola aron koi di'olata am koi vayakrev vayasea demashma aron yase atzmo hasmicha v'alo in smicha rak bibalim. So if this was the korban ha'am, then why would it be that Aaron himself has to do it? He's not the owner of the korban. And then why would you have a demand that he do the smicha on the korban? If a korban of the tzibur requires smicha, then it has to be the owners of that korban that bring it, or do the smicha. So if you think it's speaking about the korban ha'am, and it requires smicha for the korban ha'am, why is Aaron the one doing the smicha on it? It should be some representative of the people that's doing it. The fact that Aaron himself is doing it is evidence of this is a reference back to the olah of Aaron, and not the olah of the tzibur. So again, even though the pasuk reads like it's speaking about the olah ta'am, because of the particulars of the pasuk that it's Aaron, then when you say vayaseh kamishpat, we're going to say that's a reference to Aaron's olah, and Aaron's olah has to be done by him, and the smicha has to be done by him. Therefore, it's a reference to the olat yachid. Right now, we have eved, vashliach, vayisha. These three individuals are precluded. Tan rabbanan, v'samach yodo arosh ha'olah, v'nirtzolo lechaper alav, which is written by the korban olah. And then the word yado appears numerous times, like by the korban shlamim, which is samachat yado, appears multiple times over there. So we have many times the word yado to be used as a miut. And the miut comes from the fact that it writes yado, which is in the singular possessive form, even though we know from the Gemara that you need to do smicha b'shtei yadayim. So the fact that it formulates it b'yado comes to teach us this miut of yado v'lo yad avdo. He has to do with his own yad, not his ebed. Yado, velo yad shlucho, his hands and not his proxy, not his emissary. Yado, velo yad ishto, and his hands and not his wife's hands. Kohani lamale, why do you need all of them? They're all precluded for the same reason, because it's not you. So once you have yado, why aren't all three of them precluded? Tzricha. Ika zachran ma'ana chad, hava amina limute ebed. Had you only had the word yado once, I would have thought that that comes to exclude an ebed. Because the lav bar mitzvah, that he's not someone who's involved in mitzvot. He's patur min mitzvot, or at least patur from a large swath of mitzvot. But he is an eved kanani we're speaking about here. We're not speaking about an eved ivri. And so for that reason, he's precluded because he's not a bar mitzvah in general. Aba shliach, but your emissary, who is a bar mitzvah, he's just as chayev as you. If he brought his own korban, he'd have to do it. Maybe he can act on your behalf. Maybe he can stand in on your behalf. And an individual, an emissary of the individual, is the same as the individual himself. So maybe the shlucho should be able to do it. So that is the din that we learn from Korban HaPesach, where it says that b'shachatu kol kahal adat Yisrael v'chei kol hakahal shochtim el mikan sheshlucho shel adam kimoto. Sounds like that the Korban HaPesach can be brought. First of all, one Korban HaPesach could take care of all of Klal Yisrael, which remains that Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoto, as well as the fact that even if you bring in multiple Korban HaPesach, the fact that Kol Klal Am Yisrael brings it is an indication that it Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoto. So Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoto, maybe this individual can stand in for you. So this brings back the problem again, which is generally by mitzvah begufo, we don't have this concept of shlucho shel adam kemoto. Over here, when you put on tefillin, you can't say shlucho shel adam kemoto to put on tefillin for you. You can only have somebody do a mitzvah when the mitzvah is not mitzvah begufo. So that opens up this same question that we had before with regards to smicha. Is the smicha the obligation of the individual himself? Or is it the necessity that the korban requires smicha? And so then you could open up the possibility of shlucho shel adam kemoto if you believe the korban has this aspect of it. And maybe even korban has both of them. It's a requirement that you do it, and it's a requirement that the korban have smicha. And maybe the possibility here is that shlucho shel adam kemoto could function under one of those two aspects, not both of them. At least it could cover the aspect of the korban needs smicha. Although maybe over here it's slightly different because the whole korban in general is done ayidei shliach. A kohen processes the majority of the stages of the korban for the individual. So even though, quote unquote, it's a mitzvah begufo, nevertheless, korban in general allows for shlichut, that the kohenim are acting on our behalf. If that's the case, then maybe you would think that shlucho shel adam kemoto could also work for the smicha. Even though the Gemara seems to conclude in other places, and maybe that's what's correlated over here, that the Kohanim are shluchei derachmana. They're the emissaries of God and not our emissaries. And so maybe that's exactly what it means over here, that shlucho is not included, because the Kohanim are not really our shlichim in the end, and therefore there is no shliach involved in the processing of the korban. If you only had these two, delav kegufei damya, because they're not exactly like him. They're still acting as a proxy. We say yad eved ki yad rabo. So he's like an extension of your arm. Shlucho shel adam kemoto. But there's even a stronger expression with regards to his wife, aval ishto tegegufei damya. It's the same. They're one and the same. He and his wife are one and the same. They are interchangeable over here. It's ematisma. So maybe she should be able to do it on his behalf. Tzricha, that's why we need three mi'utim over here. And that's why the word yado appears all these times, to tell you that each of these individuals are precluded. Now, Rashi in the Ketav Yad already asked the question, and Tosafot asked the other question. Didn't we already preclude Chaveiro? Didn't we say before Korbano, Velo Korban Chaveiro? So why do I need Yado Velo Shlucho? If you already said you can't have Korban Chaveiro do it, why should it be different? So he says, Hava mina hechi yameit Chaveiro, hechi de kariv Velo Yidia. That's when he's bringing it without his knowledge, without his knowing. Over here, maybe where he appoints him as shliach, then it would work. So that's the way that Rashi deals with it. Tosfos deals with it from the other side. Didn't we say before that Bnei Yisrael sumchim below Bnot Yisrael? Only men do smicha, women don't do smicha. Why do I need an exclusion for his wife? Yado below yad ishto. A woman doesn't do smicha. So again, you would say the same thing here, which is that yes, a woman for her own korban is precluded. But here where the husband is chayav, and she can act on behalf of her husband, maybe she can do smicha on behalf of her husband, even though she can't do it for her own korban. Now Tosafot says, just as an addition to that, why do I need a preclusion anyway for a woman to tell you that women don't do smicha? It's a mitzvah to say shazman grama, because it's tekef l'smicha shchita. The smicha has to be done right adjacent to the shchita, and shchita can only be done during the day. If that's the case, it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama, because you can only do smicha during the day, you can't do it at night. He says, don't tell me that he did it at daybreak. Right before the day broke, he did it smicha at night, and then he did shchita right afterwards, because you have to wait for the tamid shel shachar. You're not allowed to shecht anything before the tamid shel shachar. So you have too big a gap in time. Take a smicha shchita means the smicha will always be done during the day. So it's a mitzvah to say shazman grama. Why do I need an exclusion for women in general? Bnei Yisrael v'lo benot Yisrael by smicha. The number of answers that are given, one is what happens if she wants to opt in. Like we know by many mitzvot to say shazman grama, a woman, if she chooses to do the mitzvah, can do the mitzvah. Over here, we need a specific miut to say no, because there's another problem, which is then you're using hektesh. You're leaning on hektesh over here, which would be a problem with me'ilah, unless you were permitted to do it. So therefore, we don't give her the right to opt in, and that's what the preclusion is. Others say that it's really not a mitzvah to say shazman grama, because its smicha itself is not the problem. Shchita is a zman grama. And now you're saying, because of its correlation to shchita, that makes it a zman grama. It's not really true. Smicha is independent. The necessity to put them together makes it into a zman grama. But smicha inherently is not a zman grama. So maybe there's no p'tur over here for smicha. Or maybe the fact that women are chayavot in shchita and you have the din of take care of the smicha shchita, that might have had a havamina that a woman could do smicha in this instance. Or you could say over here, the fact that a woman can bring a korban seems to indicate that the woman is included in all the processes of the korban, despite the fact that it's a zman grama. And so maybe over here too, we'd overlook the issue of smicha. For all of those reasons, we say that a woman possibly could have been chayevet in smicha, and that's why I need a specific pasuk to exclude the woman. This happens to be a very timely statement about the idea that maybe a woman can step into her husband's shoes and do a mitzvah on his behalf, because that halacha comes up with regards to Nerot Chanukah, where we find that the din of ishto kegufo doesn't just work in the aspect that if the husband lights, that the woman is also pturah, but also vice versa, that if the woman lights, she can also be potera husband. And we say that the ishto kegufo, that his wife acts on his behalf. And here you have an example of that type of din, where the Gemara has avamina that because of ishto kegufo, that the woman could stand in his place and do the mitzvah on his behalf, and it recounted as if he does the mitzvah. And that has application by Nerot Chanukah, where many of the poskim believe that when the woman lights at home, it discharges the obligation of the husband vis-a-vis the Nerot Chanukah. Okay, so next. The Gemara says, smicha sheirei mitzvah. The Mishnah told us that smicha is a residual mitzvah. Tanu Banan. Because it says, v'samach yado arosh ha'ola, v'nirtzolo lechaper olav, v'samach v'nirtza. So it says there that he does smicha, and that brings ritzui. Ritzui means that the accomplishment of what you want with the korban, which is to get ritzui from Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'chi smicha mechaperet, that seems to indicate that the smicha provides the kapara. V'lo ein kapara l'badam, and we know, this is something we said over and over again through Kodoshim, that the kapara is attained through the avodat adam. Shnemar, ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. The dam is the ultimate mechaper. That's what brings kapara from a korban. Elo lomar lacha, shuma sal smicha sheirei mitzvah. If you make smicha into like a little extra bonus item, meaning that you choose not to do it, male alav ketuv kilo lo kiper v'kiper. The Torah classifies it as if you did get kapara and you didn't get kapara. Kiper, because ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. You got the core kapara from doing the avodat adam. Lo kiper, you didn't do it in the best way possible, or in the optimal way that could have been done, which is to have smicha done. So that's what it means, v'nirtzalo. Nirtzalo comes from smicha, because then that you get the full benefit of all the ritzui. If you don't do it, it doesn't stop the kapara, but it downgrades the ritzui that you get from it. We have a similar braita by tznufa, by the wave offering of the exact same reasoning. Lit tznufa lechaper. You do the tznufa, you do the wave offering in order to attain kapara. V'chi tznufa mechaperet. Since when does the wave offering provide the kapara? Halein kapara l'abedam, shenemar ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. Elo lomar lacha. Again, to teach you, shemasa l'tznufa sherei mitzvah. If you make tznufa into a residual, meaning that you don't do it, then malea kaduv kilo lo kiper v'kiper. You don't get a full, optimal, enhanced kapara because you missed the tznufa, but you still get the kapara that's associated with the dam, which is the core kapara of this korban. Dosra just points out that over here, it's interesting because the tznufa is done after the dam. If the wave offering, which is done with the fats and the other parts of the animal, is done after zrikat adam, what's the question? Once you've already attained kapara through zrikat adam, how can you have any downgrade of the kapara in any way, shape, or form? We know that, first of all, anything that happens after zrikat adam doesn't impact on the efficacy of the korban. So why should the tznufa have any bearing over here? So the Baal Tosfos will point out that the pasuk that they quoted over here was from Mitzora. And by the Hasham Mitzora, the tznufa is done while the animal is alive, before it's shechted. So he had pointing out that the tznufa is a tznufa that is not post-zrika, but pre-zrika. And that's why over here it's noting that the tznufa, if you don't do it, downgrades the kapara because it's a tznufa prior to the kaparat adam. So now your question was, ala rosh, what does it mean you do smicha on the head of the animal? Tanu Rabbanan. Yado al harosh, velo yado al hatzavar. When it says samach yado al rosh korbano, so you put the yad on the head and not on the neck. So Tosfot says over here, velo yado al hatzavar, he means not on the side of the neck, but actually on the neck itself. Makom ha-simanim, the place where the simanim are, shesham korui tzavar, that's a tzavar. But that we would understand, again, because if you have to do take up the smicha shchita, and the Mishnah said, "But makom, you do the smicha, you do the shchita." then connecting the dots, you might have thought that the smicha should be done on the neck, where the simanim are, so that they take care of the smicha shchita, but also mamakom, that you do the smicha, that's the shchita. So that's the havamin over here, and that's being precluded by the statement of the Gemara. Yado ala rosh, velo yado ala gabayim. You put your hands on the head and not on the back of the animal. Yado ala rosh, velo yado ala chazeh. You put your hands on the head and not on the chest of the animal. Kohani lamali. Why do you need all these preclusions? Why would you think that any of these other locations are considered to be rosho? Tzriche, ika davran achad. Had I just had one rosho to tell me that it's a exclusionary, then the me'ute tzavar. I would have thought that it excludes the tzavar. Delo kai bahade rosho. Because it's not on the same level or plane as the head. Meaning that the head is on the top of the animal. Valgabo, the kailaha de rosho, and the back of the animal, which is also in the same location where the head is, emalo. Maybe over there it says it's not a problem, and you can do the smicha on the back, just like you do it on the head of the animal. The tzavar is on the other side. It's on the front of the animal facing downward. So over there, that's what's precluded. But the back, which is in the same direction as the head, maybe it should be just fine. So tzricha. That's why I need two words rosho to tell me that. If you told me these two, mishum deloitz rabbi litznufa, because they're not included in the process of tnufa. The tzavar and the back don't have anything other process that's done to them in the processing of the korban. On the other hand, the chazed, the rabbi litznufa, the chazed, which is going to be done as a wave offering before Hashem, maybe over there, emalo, maybe over there would not be precluded. And you could do smicha on the chazed, because it's part of the processing of the animal. Therefore, tzricha, that's why I need all three times that the word rosho appears to tell me this din, that the korban has to be done specifically on the head of the animal and not on the neck of the animal, not on the back of the animal, and not on the chest of the animal. Yadol etzadim mahu. What is the din if you put your hands on the side? Meaning that you precluded putting it on the tzavar. You said you're supposed to put it on the head. What about putting it on the tzadim? So tashma, titanya. Abba Biria, Bireb Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Abba Biria, this is cameo appearance in Shas. So Abba Biria over here, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Yado al Rosho, velo Yado al Tzadim. He has a limud that the Yado has to be on the Rosh, and not on the sides. Bai Rabbi Yirmiya, Matlit, Maushitachutz. What happens if you put a cloth in between the hands and the head of the animal? Does that create a chatzitza? Tashma, again, the korban has to have the smicha done in a way or such a manner that there's nothing separating between the hands and the animal itself. So all of these would be problematic if you did it on the side and if you did it with something in between your hands and the animal itself. Now the Gemara says, b'shtei yadayim. You have to do it with both hands. Minahani milei. How do you know that you need to use both hands in the process of smicha? Amar Eish Lakish, Damar Kro. Pasuk says, "Samach Yaron et shtei yadav." So it says that Aaron has to put both of his hands on the korban. This is by Yom Kippurim. It says, "Samach Aaron et shtei yadav." But tiv yado uchtiv shtei. The word yadav over there is spelled chaser. So if you didn't have any mesorah but had to read it, you would read it as yado. So then it says shtei yado. So zeh bnei av, this becomes a paradigmatic in nature. Kol makom shenir mer yado, harikan shtayim. That means that anytime you see the word yado mentioned in the Torah, it means two hands. Ad shivrat lecha ketuv achat. Unless the Torah specifies that it's one. By the fact that it says shtei yadav, but it's written shtei yado, from there we learn that all yado is considered to be shtei. It has to have two done to it. Azar Rabbi Elazar, amra la hashmaitata bebe midrasha. Blazer said over that which Reish Lakish had said in the Beit Midrash. Blo Amra Mishmei de Reish Lakish. He didn't say it over in the name of Reish Lakish. Shama Reish Lakish v'ikpit. Reish Lakish heard about it and he got upset that he didn't say over in his name. Amalei, Isak adatcha oecha dichtiv yado, tartei ninu. If you think everywhere in the Torah it says yado, it's two. Lamele michtav yadav. Why do I need the word yadav to appear in the Torah? If yado means two, then why do you ever have to use the plurality of yadav in the Torah? Why is it necessary to write yadav at all? Actually, esrim ba'arba yadav. He questioned him with regards to 24 times the word yadav appears in the Torah as to why you need that yadav. Yadav tiviyena, yadav ravlo, sikelet yadav. So here the Gemara brings three examples of what he's speaking about. For instance, when Yaakov switches his hands with regards to Ephraim and Menashe, it says sikelet yadav. Why doesn't it just say sikelet yado? would have been both hands. Why do you need the word yadav? Ishtik. Rabbi Elazar was silenced by his questioning. It's not clear here whether there really are 24 yadavs in the Torah, or whether 24 is a number that just means a lot of questions. Some achronim go out of their way to try to find the word yadav or something similar to it 24 times in order to figure out what the Gemara is saying here. Others just say it's an expression of a lot. Doesn't mean that they had exactly 24. All right, so Gemara says, the batar zinach date, after Rish Lakish calmed down from being so upset at Rabbi Elazar, Amrlei, my time alotemali, yadav de smicha kamre. This is what you should have answered me, which is, the din is a din in smicha. It's not a din in kol haTorah kula. It's a din that smach aron et shte yadav comes to teach you in smicha, the word yado means yadav. But that doesn't mean in kol haTorah kula, yado means yadav. So everywhere else in the Torah, when you want to say two, you have to write yadav in the plural. But by smicha, yado means shte yadav. So he says, "Bismicha namitiv." Wait a minute. By smicha, there is a problem because it says, "Vayismoch et yadav alav vayitzaveyu." It says when Moshe is passing the mantle to Yoshua, it says, "Vismach et yadav alav vayitzaveyu." He puts his hands on him and he gives over the power. He gives him smicha. He basically appoints him as the successor to himself. Moshe is pointing Yoshua as his successor through the smicha. But here he uses yadav in the context of smicha. Says smicha de beima kamre. I'm not saying the word smicha. Anytime there's smicha in the Torah, the word yado would automatically mean two. And therefore, why write yadav? No. Anytime you're talking about smicha on an animal, that's where you have this din that it's considered to be two hands. So anywhere in smicha, you don't need to write yadav. You just write yado. There, we only find the word yadav once, and it's written in the chaser by v'samach aron et shtei yadav. And so there, we learn from that yado by smichat beheima always means two yadayim. But by a person, when you're doing smicha on a person, you'd have to mention yadav, or any other type of yado, yadav in the Torah, you have to write whether you're taking me up speaking about one hand or two hands. So that's not a question on me. Just interesting that Rish Lakish, I think, was pointing out to Rabbi Elazar, when he said it over in his own name, he didn't give attribution to Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish comes in and says, well, if you think it's your memra, why don't we answer all these questions? Rish Lakish obviously had thought through this already and had answers to the question. He was just saying to Rabbi Elazar, if it's your memra, how do you explain all of these oddities or these exceptions to the rule? Rish Lakish then explains to him how you do that, but that's because Rish Lakish was the Bala Memra. And so I think he's pointing out to Rabbi Elazar, you basically, quote unquote, stole the memra and said it over without mentioning my name. But in doing so, then you should have to be able to answer to why it is this way. And so Rish Lakish challenges him, even though it's a challenge to Rish Lakish himself. These are questions on Rish Lakish's din. Nevertheless, Rish Lakish is pointing out, I have answers to this. That's why I'm the Bala Memra, and that's why you should say it over my name. But you, who didn't have answers to these questions, is not the Bala Memra, and that's why you shouldn't be saying it over in your own name. I think that was the point that Rish Lakish was trying to make to him. Well, first of all, Kol Amir Devar B'Shem Omro May Vigula Ale Olam. So there's Akpar on that. Number two is, the Gemara mentions in a number of places that when someone says over a member in the name of another Amora, Siftotav Dovavot Bakever. It's as if his lips are quivering in the grave. And so it's important to the Amoraim and even the Tanaim that the Torah be said over in their names because that quote unquote keeps them alive even after they passed away. And so they feel very strongly that if it's said over in their name, that will give them that squat and be as if they're still alive when they're in the kever. So the Gemara speaks very highly. Nice. Rabbi Elazar over here happens to be a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Yochanan, not a Talmud Mufak of Rish Lakish. In other places where Rabbi Elazar says something over and doesn't mention Rabbi Yochanan's name, and we have other stories like this, the Gemara brings exactly what you're saying, which is when Yoshua said over things, does Yoshua always quote Moshe Rabbeinu every time he says something? No, we know that Yoshua is a Talmud Muvhak of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kol Torah To came from Moshe Rabbeinu. So whatever he says over, we assume he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu because he's a Talmud Muvhak. And so there's an underlying assumption. So that was how they placated Rabbi Yochanan and says, Rabbi Elazar is your Talmud Muvhak. Anything he says over, people are going to assume came from you because they know that you're his Rabbeinu. So that's a given in a situation where that's true. But in a situation where the person's not necessarily a Talmud Muvhak, then if he doesn't say it over in the name of the individual, you don't know that it was coming from that individual. So here, when Rabbi Elazar says something, we don't know that Rish Lakish said it. It would have been either assumed that it was Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar himself that was saying such a thing. In the place that you do the smicha, you do the shechita. Take after the smicha, shechita. Maika amar. What is being said here? So, Miuchas the Rashi says, Demashmalei do oto makom bebeima shesumchim sham shochadim. It sounds right from this that bemakom shesumchim shochadim. In the place that you do the smicha, that's where you do the shechita. Not the physical location of where the animal's standing, rather on the animal. The physical location where you do the smicha, that's where you do the shechita. That would imply that the smicha is done on the neck of the animal, not on the head of the animal. We just said before that that's not the case. That it has to be done on the head of the animal. So that's going to be the maikamar, what's being said over here. Or the way the Rashi in the Ktav Yad says, Alutani tekev l'smicha shechita, why don't you just write? Take of the smicha shechita, but now yidana the makom shesumchim shochadim. Then I would know wherever the animal's standing, you got to do the shechita. If you have to do shechita immediately after you do smicha, then of course the animal is but makom wherever you did the smicha. That's where the shechita is going to happen because the animal's got to be there. There's nothing that can interrupt between the smicha and the shechita. So why do you have to duplicate the information and tell me the location of the animal now, presently, is where you're going to do the shechita? Of course, that's where you're going to do it because you have taken the smicha shechita. So that's according to Rashi Ktav Yad. That's the nature of the question over here. Hachi kamar b'makom shesomchim shochatim, the place where the animal stands for the smicha, that's where the shechita will be done. She take it for the smicha shechita. It's not two separate statements. It's the explanation for why. Why is it that where the animal is standing at the time of smicha, you will do the shechita? Because take of the smicha shechita, and you have no choice. Since you have to do the shechita immediately after the smicha, wherever it's standing when you do the smicha, that's where it's going to be standing when you do the shechita. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Bet.